put something up. What did they put, a big sheet?
Well, they
sheet
put a big sheet up there on the Garber Sisters.
On the side of the building.
Of the Garber Sisters store. That was the northeast quadrant of the square. And they hired a school teacher who had the summer off, and he's the one that took them around. He not only showed them in Caledonia, he showed them other, I don't know which, probably Prospect, Leroux. He made a circuit and he'd show a movie here in Caledonia. I think it was on a Wednesday night. Okay. Every Wednesday night they would show a movie. These were old movies that they could rent pretty cheaply, and he had a big projector and sound equipment. You could hear. It was a sound movie.
And people would gather on the square to watch
it.
Sit
on the square there, go up there and take your blanket or your chair or whatever. And back in that day and age, Route 30 South, come right through Caledonia. Come through the square. And there's cars, of course there wasn't that much traffic, but there's cars going back and forth and people sitting out there. No one ever had an accident or anything. And this fellow would show those movies, and pretty much all summer long. And that happened. That started right after the war, probably in, I'm going to guess, 1946. And they were still showing them when I was a senior in high school. Now, I don't know how much longer. I graduated in 1953. I don't think they showed them too much after that because television was coming in. And that was just that interim there between the war, television come in, the new cars got real fancy, and people's lives changed. But also on the square is the town hall, and there's a big room above on the second floor. There's a stage, and again, I best I can remember, I would say 1946, there was a traveling show that come to town called Bartone, the Bartone Show, and they had Mr. and Mrs. Bartone, they had another couple, they had two other couples, and they put on little shows. And the one guy, he was called Paducah, and he had on great big head pants on, was twice the size it should be, and he had big suspenders on him. And that stage up there, I'm going to guess it's still up there, has a drop curtain. You know, they could drop it for a background curtain. They had a picture of a big city scene. It's got buildings on it. Of course, all the windows and everything. Well, Paducah, he'd come scooting across. He had a special way of scooting. He'd come scooting out there and just to make people laugh. He had a big red hanky, and he'd go over to that screen, or a drop, and clean a window off, peek into it, and then turn around like he saw something he shouldn't have. I'll never forget him doing that. That come to Caledonia for, I know it was there in 52, maybe 53. The last year they came, they put it in a tent, and the tent was set up where the now firehouse sits. That was a vacant lot. And they put that, the town owned that. They set that tent up and put their show on in that tent. That was the last year they come. It had to be long in the early 50s. Now, they sold a product. I forget the name of it. It was an elixir, a medicine. And it had alcohol in it. Old Mr. Bartone, he didn't have any part in any of the plays, but he would, and he did this every year. he'd go upstairs there before it started. He'd be playing the song, let me think. I'll think of it here in a minute. What is that song that I told you he played?
I don't know.
Sugar Blues. Sugar Blues by, what was that guy's name? Pee Wee Hunt, I think, played the Sugar Blues. And he loved that song, and he played every night you'd go up there, he'd be playing Sugar Blues. I remember that. And since Caledonia had that real nice building up there and that nice town hall, they could get a lot of people in that town hall. And one last thing about that baritone, they would, I forget how they chose the girls, but they choose three or four or five girls, and as you bought their product, you got tickets. And you write this girl's name on that ticket and hand it in at the end of the week, they give that girl a diamond ring. Now, if you talk to Bob and Dixie Noggle, you check with Dixie, because I'm pretty sure she won one of the latter ones that was given out. You ask her if she didn't get a diamond ring from the baritones. And there's one guy there that he liked to drink, and he bought their he liked their medicine because the alcohol content, not for what it did for him. He'd have the most tickets to sign and give to somebody. I won't give you his name.
But, sounds prudent.
Now another thing that happened there in that upstairs, that meeting hall up there was along in the same time period after the war and up to, maybe it was up there 3 or 4 years, somebody come over here in the band, and they go up there and play, and people go up there and square dance. Every Saturday night, I think it was, they'd have a big square dance. And it didn't last in years as long as the baritones did. But they was up there 3 or 4 years. They'd square dance. Everybody'd go up there, and the whole town again wanted to square dance. I'd go as a kid. I was on junior high, maybe. But I was never one to dance. Mom went up and danced. And us three boys would go with her. And, of course, had the railroad going through town. Now, here's something that we did as boys. They had a lot of benches out. The Corner Inn had benches outside. May Hardware had benches outside. You could sit there and watch traffic go by. So we'd get 5, 6, 7 guys sitting there in the benches, and we play cars. The guy that sat here at the end, front end of the bench, he got the first car through Caledonia on Route 30. And then the next car, the next kid took until we all of us got a car, and then we'd argue about which one got the best car. So that was a game we played. We didn't have anything else to do. There wasn't anything to do here in this town. When I first come to Caledonia in 44, we had a bakery was open. Yeah, where the Bowstring was. Now, that building, particular building, burned here a number of years ago, and they built the Bowstring then. But that original building was owned by Harold Williams. And Harold run a bakery there during the war. I used to love to walk by there and smell that. We didn't have enough money to buy stuff out of the bakery. Where the Legion is today, well, that the eastern part of that stall there was the Caledonia Bar. They could sell whiskey in there. Down the corner was Dick's Place, where the Camouflage Cafe is today. And he could only sell beer and wine. Across the street, right straight across from the corner inn, that'd been there for years. Yeah, it's gone now. They tore it down. It was an old building when I was a kid.
No, the West Sickles.
It had the West Sickles, which
is, on the-
is where the Bowstring is now. West Sickles had a bar in there. I don't think he could sell whiskey. I think the only place in town that could sell whiskey was the Caledonia Bar. It was more or less, it was a culture. And it was Caledonia. My dad called Caledonia a green little oasis in the vast, big, dry desert because Clarendon Township was dry and all of Marr County was dry. And the only place you could get a shot of whiskey was at Caledonia, unless you went to Marion. So Caledonia had people that wanted to drink, for the most part. West Sickles.
That's
and
where the
Bowstring is now.
Bowstring now.
But West Sickle had it. He started the. He bought the. That's where the bakery was. West bought the bakery right after the war. And he put that bar in there. Now, my dad never go in and drink at West Sickles. I'm not going to say why, but he didn't like him. He wouldn't drink there. He either drank at the corner inn, Dick's Place, or the bar. Building, there's a brick building. When I was a kid during the war, there was a family that started the, excuse me a minute, there's a family that's in that building. I forget, the best I can remember, it was in there when I come to Caledonia in 44. Their name was Sturdivant, and he was the preacher at the Caledonia Church of Christ over here. And he and his wife started a business where they made religious plaques. They poured them with plaster Paris. They'd have smaller ones. Oh, it had praying hands on it and stuff. They had women in there that would paint them. And then their signature was a great big plaque like this that had the Last Supper, according to Michelangelo. The 13 guys sitting around a table. Now, that's not really what happened, because they didn't have tables back in that day when they laid on one elbow when Christ did that. But Michelangelo in the 1500s painted the Last Supper. Well, that's what they used, and they made these great big Last Supper pictures. There's still some around Caledonia. Well, Randy Gates had a, before them, back when my parents, my dad was a young man, there was a elderly lady in there, and they called her Sorley Mare. Now, that wasn't her name, but that's what they called her. And she had a candy store in the bottom of that. But what I can remember in there was that religious plaque. They stayed there until, oh my, I think about 52, 53, 54. They went and bought the building on the west, southwest corner of the square. And then it died out. People just quit not buying them. I suppose they sold everybody around here. It was saturated with them. Well, then he left to become a Nazarene preacher when he went up there in that Underwood building. And he'd become a Nazarene. He's the one that started the Nazarene Church here in Caledonia. A guy named, from Kirkpatrick. Oh, what was his name? bought it, and he rented it out. He bought both those buildings, and he rented the top and the back out on that first one, the railroad track. And then he had two or three apartments in that one, next one up. Oh, what was his name? I'll think of it here in a little bit. But he owned his buildings until he died. And he always rented them. Now, I was told back in the day of Prohibition, there was a beer joint down the basement of that thing, and three guys held it up. They come in their shotguns and held it up. Now, that's before my time, but I was told that Bud Doyle owned it.
Yeah.
And he had a speakeasy down there, and three guys with shotguns went down there and robbed him. And then the next place then, of course, was Williams and the bakery. And then there was another little frame building between that and Dick's place. And that was a barber shop. Lee Timpson had a barber shop in there.
Related to Timpson and Allen?
No.
Different Timpson?
He may have been, but he wasn't a brother or anything.
Okay.
But Lee Timpson, that was Bobby Timpson's dad. Oh. You remember Bobby? You know Bobby.
Yeah, I worked for him.
Yeah, that was Lee Timpson. And I got my hair cut in there when I was a kid during the war. Because my uncle, Harold Reed, always had a barber shop here, but at that time, he'd discontinued his barber shop, and he worked for the cellular ordnance plant during the war. A lot of people in town here worked out there at that cellular ordnance plant. Ralph Reed. Well, Ralph Reed had his barber shop. That's where my uncle Harold started. He started the barber shop in there.
That was at the old filling station.
No.
Yeah, it was.
That's where Ralph went later.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Uncle Harold, he had a shop before he went to the one we was talking about there in Reese's own, over there in that Underwood. Because we were living in Caledonia, and then I think I'd go get my hair cut. He had a stall there in that Underwood building. He's the only thing that was in there. And like I say, he moved from there over to where Reese's underneath the lodge, and then he bought that house later on where Ralph Reed, he sold to Ralph, and then later on Ralph moved it to the old Shell station. Louis Campbell run the Shell station. No, Les Kazee had that. Les Kazee run that for a long time. Well, when he got out of it, it was small, and I think the size of the building, and that was more than anything else. And then they built the Sahaja down there on the highway. And then across the street, we had the Jay Baird's barn. Well, it was the old livery stable for Caledonia, a great big barn on the south side. On the north side was two apartments. And there's one down, one up. And the one that lived in the down when we moved to Caledonia was Mary Ellen Bigford. She lived there because her husband, he got drafted. And they had three kids. And her and my mother run together all through the war. And we grew up with the Bigford kids. And upstairs, Herb Mulvane lived up there during the war. And then there was the big barn there. In that barn was a room built And Marion Bigford's brother lived at, Bill Gist lived in there. He couldn't, he was 4F. He had a bad heart. So he never, if they couldn't draft you, you become 4F and you were done. You didn't get drafted. He lived in there. And that barn burnt many years later. I was on the fire department, and that summer there was a motorcycle gang that took that barn over, and they must have been 10, 12, 15 guys in there just riding their motorcycles all over California, go drink, and come winter time, of course they all went to Florida. And it was a cold night. It was below zero. And there's a guy that bought that barn. He went in there and was fixing it up. And he had a coal stove in it. He started a fire in that coal stove. It caught that barn on fire. And we went over there, and the fire chief, Jess Mowry, he said, boy, you just stand back and let her go, let her burn, because we don't want them motorcycle gang back in town the next year, next summer. So that took care of their, but sitting 6 feet from that was four apartments that are up there now. Now, before those were apartments, there was another brick building that set in there, and a people named Henry lived in there. Next to it was a little gas station called Henry Newfer's. Henry Newfer run it. And he had an old time one pump, and it had a glass on it. And if you wanted 5 gallons of gas, he'd pump 5 gallons of gas up in that glass, and then he'd put it, the hose in your, and let it drain in. Other than that religious plaque in that one, because when they closed that up, they just closed that building up. I don't think it said empty or unused. No, take that back. In the mid-50s, early to mid-50s, there was a guy that put a farm implement store in there. Straley. Straley sold just a few implements. He never had any sitting around or anything. But he had that farm implement in there for 3-4 years. From the Dick's Bar to the square, you had the old bank set there, brick building right on the alley, right next to the bar. But in between that building and Dick's was a house back in there.
Oh, well, the bank was where the parking lot is now for the old.
Well, the bank that's up there now sits about where that house was. And it left quite a bit of space between Dick's, and all he had out back was a toilet. And there's an old house there. There's a guy here in town owned, I don't know how many he owned, named George Lafferty. George owned that house. And along with a bunch of others. You always tell George's houses because he painted them all the same dark brown with yellow trim. That first, I guess you might call it building, of that big block, that was the Cali Bar. The next two spots was the May Hardware. And then the spot,
pizza.
You know, where the pizza shop is. When I was a kid about 5 years old, my dad took me in that one day, and there's a guy that had a bowling alley in there. He had two alleys. And dad set me up on a big bunch of cupboards like, and I sat there and watched him guys bowl for a little bit. That was, I was 5 years old. That had to have been about 1939 or 40. But then later on then, many years later, Leroy Armbruster put a restaurant in. I went to school with his youngest boy. We graduated together, Myron. And then in the last one was the Garber Sisters grocery store. There was four grocery stores in Caledonia. Now, get over on Water Street, going south of 30, was that's south of Route 30. Okay, on the corner, on the west corner, you had the corner inn, and right across from it was a great big building, and there's a stairway up the north side of it. Went up to a room that was about a third the size of this thing, and that's where the first Caledonia telephone exchange set. And well, when I was in school, the Murphy kids lived up the stairway, and I never went in. I had a paper out, and I collected, so I knew who was everybody in Caledonia one time when I was a kid. Well, I remember going up. That's all right. I remember going up stairs one time. My dad, I couldn't have been 4 or 5 years old because we still lived on the farm. He went up there and paid the phone bill. And this girl was up there, and I can remember the jackbox, or where somebody'd ring and they'd want to talk to somebody, she'd plug the jacks in. I remember seeing that. And then in the rest of that building, when I was a kid around, they never had anything in it. We'd get in there and run around as kids. Just me and the Armbrister boys, my brother, would get in there and run all around. Then, but this far from that building sat another building. And there was a lady that lived on the corner up here of Marion and High Street in that little house, Mrs. Ott, Ethel Ott. And she ran a grocery store out of that building. And then it had an upstairs where the people lived in. Then the next house then is the one still there, Pummert's. It was Pummert's house. Now it's, what's that kid's name?
Gandard.
And then there was a lot there. And then but there's a garage sitting there. The first guy I remember operating that garage was Bob Longacre. And he had a garage in there for a long time.
Go ahead.
And then there's an alley still going through there. And right now is that parking lot. But there was a frame building set there on the corner of that. And back in the back in the 50s, that thing was just sitting there, as far as I know. And the bar owner across the street, Hokie Hiller, bought that building and fixed it up and put a pool hall in there. So that had a pool hall in it for a number of years. And then between that and Reese's Market was another set of frame buildings. Somebody lived upstairs, and I don't remember, I think years ago, and I don't remember this, I think that's where the barber.
Cy Baker. Had a barber shop.
Cy Baker had a barber shop in there at one time. Start the corner in. There's two elderly ladies that lived on South Water Street.
Bush.
The Bush sisters. And their parents were the ones that had that mortuary and furniture store. Well, it wasn't two stores. It was a store in the west half of it. There's a big wall went through there. Now you can go in, the store now, you see the metal post. That was a wall. Well, the one on the, the west side, that was Bernard Lyons. He lived right here in this house. And I worked for him. Between my junior and senior year, I clerked for him through the summer. They'd stand there and tell you, I want this, this, and you run around and got it. In the east side of that was a restaurant, Cali restaurant, run by a woman called Ma Doyle. I don't know what her husband and her lived on South Main.
Last house then.
Well, still is last house.
Still last house on the east side of the street.
And he had the beer distributorship, and she run that store.
Restaurant.
Yeah, he took it over from Dutchy Pummert. Yeah. Everybody called him Dutchy. Melvin Pummert. Well, all that up there was... I'll take that back.
Pythian Sisters was over the... was Reese's Market now.
Yeah.
And the Eastern Stars was over what was the little building on the west, southwest.
Oh, the three there. Reese's Market was in the middle one to start with back during the war. I don't remember. I can't tell you what was in the one to the left of that. That's where my uncle finally had his barber shop, but that was, that was in the 40s and the 50s.
In the late 50s, that was a clothing store. It was called J&K.
Yeah. When Warren started the big store, like it is there now, Sickle went over and bought that Underwood building. That became the IGA. The Reese's had
the Garber Sisters.
Garber Sisters, Pummert, and Mrs. Ott had that one over on
Water Street. When we moved to town in 55, there was two grocery stores. There was Reese's and Sickles.
On the corner was very important. Was Mrs. Kelly's, they called it a drugstore. Although she, now they may have had, they could sell drugs in there until her husband was a druggist.
I was the cashier, or I was a, I did just whatever you did to keep the store running, you know. And they had, like aspirins and Band-Aids and...
Over-the-counter.
Over-the-counter things that you could buy in
now,
there.
Now, if you wanted to, you could give Joe your prescription. Because he lived in Marion. He'd get it filled in Marion, bring it back. To finish up the square, you had the Underwood building still there. Now, right across the street from that was, that's where the Dance Factory is. But years before that, there wasn't anything in there until Bob Clark put a TV store in there. Yeah, late 50s, 60s.
No, it was in the early 50s.
Was it?
Because they had the television and radio store there.
Yeah.
And then Uncle Lowell had the corner. That's where he had his Douse insurance.
Okay.
And he had it across the street in his house for
a while. Yeah.
And then he moved it over into that building.
Well, Rice has lived up in the second floor.
Yeah. Oh. And when we came, Freeman's were the people.
That's
that
right.
Freeman's ran. Yeah. That's just when televisions first started coming.
Now you go on down and turn. There was two frame buildings there. The two were single story, and the one on the corner was two story. And the Detwaters, when they moved to Caledonia, they lived in the two rooms there. The first two. The middle one was just a small one. And a guy named Whitey Henry lived in there. And then on the corner, that had been a butcher shop. And another uncle worked in there and cut meat back in the 30s. The Grays lived up above that. There was an apartment up there. Now, that's since been torn down, of course, and it's, when Randy Underwood, you talking about him. That was all torn down, and the town bought that. He bought it, and the village bought it. I always called it Randall Park, because he's the one that did it. It got run down, and people didn't live up there for a long time. I think Graves was probably the last one that lived up there.
I don't. But see, when we moved to town in 55, those buildings were all pretty well empty.
Yeah.